We have a good group of our brothers and sisters also online, and would like to welcome each one of them. There are sometimes we even have people in Arizona listening to our messages. And Los Angeles, we have sometimes even Colorado. So we have in San Diego quite a few people that also join us for the service. At this time, I'd like to ask you please to look at the screen. It says, the scripture reading, it says that the house will be full. So that the house will be full. We're going to be pay attention to this detail after we go through the message. Today's message is entitled, as you see in your bulletin, It is Finished. What is finished? So we will find out that most of the time when people see this expression, it is finished, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Jesus on the cross, right? But we will explore this, it is finished, in a more aspect from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Of course, we not have the time to go into real details, but we will try our best here. God works, or God labors. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image and likeness. If there is one thing, it was mentioned in the Sabbath school lesson I was listening, it says, God works. And everybody who is in God works. And God says, let us make humankind. Of course, God knew that what was going to happen to humans, but yet his love allowed us to have opportunity to make our own choice. Even though he knew that we will be falling into sin, but he made a choice to allow us to choose. And here in Genesis 1:27, New Central Version, it says, so God created human beings in his image. What that means? He not only starts work, but he wants to work into something that will reflect his own image. Isn't that the case? Sometimes when you see the labor of somebody, if you look the quality and you know the person who produced that, usually reflects. If the person is sloppy, whatever they create, you can see the reflection of what they do. That's why every time you are involved in any project, remember it is your character that you are stamping in whatever you do. If you tell this to your children, because you see, sometimes people do great things when they are being watched. But when they are not being watched, they go back to their lazy self. My wife and I was watching a show that I call Alone. And this is a person that goes to some place and starve themselves as long as they can. And the last one who starves the longest get $500,000. And so this individual, he went and he says, you know, I'm not going to use any energy. I'm just going to lay down in bed and starve myself. And he did. For 11 days, he didn't eat anything. He didn't even set the fire on. He says, because to make the fire gets a lot of energy. So I'm going to just lay in bed. He won. He starved longer than everybody else. But then he received a phone call. He didn't know why. What he thought it was, the phone call was just the doctor sometimes come and check their health, make sure that they don't end up killing themselves because they are alone. They are all by themselves. And so they call, and he said, oh, they are coming to check. And if my health is not good, they're going to pull me out. Suddenly, he jumped out of the bed. He started making fire. He says, I have to drink water because they're going to check to see if I'm hydrated or not. Oh, they're going to check my pulse. So he started jumping. People that sometimes, they only do things to show to other people but not to themselves. Their work, their labor. So when nobody's watching, that's the real self. when you work in anything, put your heart to it, and believe me, when you do your best in everything that you do, you always will be promoted to something else. But those that do not commit very seriously about anything that they do, they're going to end up always the last in the line. And by the way, oh, my boss doesn't like me. Oh, my boss is terrible. Oh, nobody likes me. Guess what? Work a little hard in everything that you do, and then people around you start admiring you and try to imitate you. So this God that loves us so much, he decided, I'm going to do this work, but it has to be my best yet, because it has to look just like me. And he was talking about you, just about you. So he says, so God creates you in his image. He created me in his image. In the image of God, he created us because he loved us so much. He created us male and female in his own image. And those are God's works. Everything that God does reflect his image. Everything that you do must reflect the image of God. Now, God's blessings. By the way, don't raise your hand, please. But if I would ask how many of you here feel that you are blessed because you have income, every month you receive income, or you have the ways to provide for yourself and to somebody else. When you work, blessings come. Always. Those that do not work, they always complain because they don't feel lucky enough or blessed enough. Then God blessed them and said, I have something for you to do. Of course, work. Blessings come with work. Work is a blessing. He says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because not only I made you in my own image, and I am working, and I want you to give the blessing of working as well. It is your responsibility to fill the earth. Fill the earth and govern it. And so men were created a little bit wiser than animals to assist the animals, not to control, but to assist the animals, to serve them. Genesis 1:28, New Living Translation. And then continues, thou the heaven and the earth and all host of them were finished. So what do you do after you finish something? Rest, right? Now you just find a different kind of work to do. Now this says God finished all that he has done. And then God says, it is finished. So what do? He says, now I have to create something else. And on the seventh day, God ended or finished his work. And he, all that he has done. And then it says, and then he rests in a 7 day from all his work which he has done or has finished. And then it continues by saying, then God blessed the 7 day and sanctified. Notice work, blessing. He blessed his work and he created. Many people say, oh, God created the world in 6 days. Actually, it took 7. What did he create on the 7th day? The 7th day, a memorial, a time for you to be reminded that God finished everything that he started. And we should do the same. And it says, because he rested from his work, which God has created and made. God blessed also the 7th day. And blessed each one that embraced that gift. Now, Jesus one day was telling a parable. He was sitting at the table eating with some people, and so he started a parable. And you can open your Bibles in Luke chapter 14, 15 to 24. If you want, please open your Bibles. In Luke 14, 15 to 24. I'm posting on the screen the New Living Translation version. Hearing this, a man that was there, I guess, sitting at the table, he said to Jesus, what a blessing it will be to attend the banquet in the kingdom of God. After Jesus was explaining what is the banquet in heaven and everything else, he said, oh, what a blessing. Oh, I wish I could make it. What a blessing would be to have this opportunity. Are you looking for that opportunity to sit at the table? Are you? I hope so. And it says, and Jesus, a house must be filled, is the title that we chose for this parable. He continued by saying, Jesus replied with a story, a parable. He said, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. By the way, have you received the invitation yet? Have you? Did you check your mail? There is an invitation for you to go to the same banquet. I hope you did not just say, oh, another one, and toss it aside. Take seriously, because this invitation is about life and death. Eternal life or eternal death. It says, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. It says, when the banquet was ready. So somebody's preparing that banquet. And then the banquet was ready, then now let's get the guests. He sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But what happens? But they all began making excuses. Oh, the church is too far. I need to dress up. I need to do this. I have a long drive. They all have their excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. By the way, this is a very bad business. If you buy a property and then go and check it, you're in trouble. You check before you buy, right? You don't say, I will buy a horse. And then after you pay for the horse, you find out the horse cannot walk. The horse cannot stand. The horse doesn't have no teeth. You don't do that. You check first before you buy. And they says, oh, and that's what he called excuses. You know what an excuse is? An excuse is a lie that has been dressed up to look good. That's what an excuse is. Let me give you a definition again. An excuse is just a lie that has dressed very good to look impressive, but actually it's just a lie. It says, one said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. How kind. Please. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. And then it continued. Another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. You know, I want to go to my honeymoon. I don't have time to come. Then a servant returned and told his master, you know, master, everybody that I invite is having only excuses. His master was very furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Invite everyone, because they may come. Those that are buying this, buying that, they have so much money, they don't have need for anybody. But those that are may need, go invite them. Why is Jesus here telling, go invite everyone? Here is the answer. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So the master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges of, and urge everyone to find that you find to come. And here he says, so that the house may be filled. Because the house needs to be full. What is the house that he's talking about? What is the house he's talking about? He's talking about the earth, the new earth. Remember in the beginning, he told Adam and Eve, multiply and fill the earth. So God already had a plan how many people will fit in this earth. That plan is established, and that plan has not changed. sin has not changed that. The number is still the same. If sin had never entered this earth, that number was there. Once that they have procreated enough to fill the earth, there will be no more procreation. The young people here in this church, one time I asked them to give me questions for me to make sermons, and they did. One of the common questions was always this: are we going to get married in heaven? Of course, the young people, that's where they, it comes to their mind, especially depending on what age they are. And says, are we going to get married in heaven? And I had to disappoint some of them because it says this question was asked to Jesus. And I'll remember the story when Jesus said, people came and tried to test Jesus. Says, you know, this lady married this individual and he died. And now she married his brother and he died. Seven of them. And so the Sadducees that did not believe in the resurrection tried to test Jesus. Says, Master, in the resurrection, you got a dilemma. Now this woman has seven husbands, and that is not allowed in heaven. You cannot have polygamy in heaven. So how are you going to resolve this? She may choose one, but what about the other six guys that are going to stay there? Oh, I have no wife. Well, I'm going to waste eternity without a wife. Four fellows. And so Jesus said, you err for not knowing the scriptures. Don't you know that in heaven we're going to be like angels, not married or giving ourselves in marriage? Why? I asked myself. The first time that I saw this, I asked myself, why? Why are we going to heaven and we will not enjoy marriage? Because the purpose of marriage established in the foundation of the world was to fill the earth. Once that is fulfilled, there was no more need for procreation. And so what Jesus tried saying here, it says, go find, because there is a number. When that number comes to fruition, and then I will say it is finished. Now continue. It says, for none of those I first invited will get even the small taste of the banquet. You see, it's not the invitation that makes you important. It's your response. It is up to you to decide how valuable you are. God values all of us equally. But sadly, not all of us value God the same way. So those that values God will be with God. But those that do not, won't be there. And so, Jesus Christ telling his disciples, he was about to go to heaven. And so this disciples start getting a little sad because they got used to having Jesus Christ with them, you know, every day for 3.5 years. Now Jesus resurrected, he was getting to go to heaven. So Jesus said to them, why are you, you know, sad? Don't let yourself be bothered by the fact that I'm leaving. I have a purpose to leave. I'm leaving because of you. And I have a special mission. He says, you must trust in God and trust in me. Because the purpose of my leaving is that I need to go to my father's mansions. He says, my father's, there are many rooms. And if you read this carefully, what Jesus tried to say is that there is room for everyone that wants to come. That's basically what he's saying. He's not saying, oh, there's this much room. If I have a room only for 10 guests, I'm going to only put 10 there. In that sense, he says, no, there is still room. Remember, the servants went out. He kept inviting, because see, my house needs to be full. And then he says, I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going to prepare a place for you. He's talking about you and I. He's not talking just about the disciples. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that means that Jesus Christ is going to prepare a place. That means that the place is not prepared yet when he left. Because his mission, it was to prepare this place. And what he's preparing? A place where all of us will be able to have a room. After I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. That's what when somebody logs, that's what it does. You know, I want to prepare a place because I love you. I want you to, for you to be where I am. And that's what Jesus said. When Jesus tasted the vinegar in some place called sour wine, he said, it is finished. What was he saying that was finished? At the creation, we know what it means when he says, it is finished. I have finished creation, so I'll celebrate with the Sabbath. Now here is the Savior. After his ministry, he said, I came, I finished the work. That part of work. What finished? What work that he was finished at the cross? Some people may say many different things, but I'll say to you, I would like to suggest the Creator himself came and took the human form, and at the cross, at that moment, he was recreating us. This is the work of redemption. The way to heaven was open again. We can be claimed again as his children. At that moment when he said, it is finished, also that it was a sentence on Satan and all his angels and all the human beings that Satan will recruit to serve him and to be part of his forces. Now, then he bowed his head and he rested. Remember that at creation, he finished creation and he rested. Redemption, he finished redemption and he also rest. Is that different in the end? Let's see. At the end, it says here, after I go and prepare a place for you, what it means prepare a place for you? As we know by the prophecy of Daniel, the 2,300 years, in 1844, we can go into those details another time, but in 1844, Christ entered the Most Holy. And we're going to give you a Bible text that shows this. And that is the moment that he started preparing a place. He started counting because he needs a number. And when number comes, then he says, now the house is full. Now there's no more space for anyone else, so it's time for me to go. But there's another factor that will trigger that too. It says, for Christ did not enter into the holy place made with human hands. So in other words, in this text, it's saying clearly, God did not enter a sanctuary made by hands or a temple. Do you remember where William Miller and most of the people got confused? They thought that it was talking about the earth and it was in heaven. He says, look what it says here, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. So he entered in heaven, not here on earth. And then he says, he entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. He is the way. He is the only mediator between the humans and God on our behalf. And that's what he's preparing. He is counting. He is assigning rooms. So when everything is filled, he is coming again. The Lord says, I will rest those who love me. That's a promise. And then he says, and I will protect those who trust in my name. That is, even though it's in Psalms 91, is a clear reflection of the last days. Here is the text. Revelation 22, verse 11 and 12. Look what it says. Let those who are doing wrong keep doing what is wrong. Do you know when this is going to take place? The close of probation. You have heard that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken from the earth. That is a symbolic expression. Because as long as there is anyone here in this earth that belongs to God, the Holy Spirit is going to be present. Because we cannot worship God without the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I will explain to you what that means. When the Holy Spirit will be taken. It says, let those who do wrong keep doing wrong. And let the filthy, still be filthy. You know what that means? You see the society today, you know, how filthy everything is morally, physically, in every aspect. Let those who are righteous keep doing what is righteous, what is right. And let those who are holy be holy. This is the time when Satan is stamping those that belong to him. That's what they call the mark of the beast. This is the time when those that are not stamped by Satan is being stamped by God because it belongs to God. So we either have the seal of God on us or we have the seal of the beast. That is the moment. And so those that have been sealed with the seal of the beast, the Holy Spirit will no longer be able to work with them. Hands off. The same way Satan cannot touch those that have been sealed by God. So what happened? Jesus comes with the numbers. Now nobody else can convert. Nobody can go this way. Nobody can go that way. Jesus Christ there in the heavenly sanctuary says, it is finished. It's time for me to go and pick up my children. And then he comes. Look, I am coming soon, he says to you and I. It's time for me to come and pick up my children. Why? Because there's no more. Nothing else is going to happen there in earth that can give me a pleasure to bring more children. Because those have been sealed. What is mine is mine. What is not mine, it belongs to the prince of darkness. My reward is with me. What is the reward? Eternal life. To repay all people as their actions deserve. This is a contemporary English Bible. Brothers and sisters, I want you to look at this picture. What do you see in this picture? The New Jerusalem. But what else do you see? This is the position Jesus Christ welcomed you into his kingdom. Do you know what is going to happen? After we spend our whole 1,000 years at rest, you look at in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, yet there is a rest remaining for my people. And so the 1,000 years is a symbol of the Sabbath also in heaven. And then after 1,000 years, the new Jerusalem with you and I, with our rules and all that comes down. But it cannot go back to a filthy earth. So that earth and all the evil will be destroyed. And then God will start a new earth. He says, the one who was sitting on the throne said, this is what he said, look, I am making everything new. We're going to start from scratch. Everything that is evil, the tears, the death, everything is gone forever. Now everything needs to be new. And he's going to be sitting on the throne, and we're going to be sitting there. He says, here, a class on creation. And every single day, he's going to make right before your own eyes. Those of you that believe in creation, believe in the Creator, believe in Abba, Abba is going to give you this class. First day, this is what happened before eyes. Second day, and then after the sixth day, he's going to say, now this is your home. This is our home. Because according to Revelation, says, I'll be their God. I will reside with them. I'll be their tabernacle, and they will be my children. Amen. It's talking about you, kids. Amen. It's talking about you. And then it says, then he said, write this because these words are true and can be trusted. Amen. Write this down because it can be trusted. Now it says again, the one on the throne says to me, it is finished. By the way, this is exactly what it says in New Century Version. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am Genesis and Revelation. I am there in Genesis creating. I'm here in Revelation recreating. So that's how the story goes in a whole circle. It was finished in creation, and the same glorious creation, recreation, will take place again. But this time, different. This time, remember, when you look in the Revelation, it says, when this destruction, you know, they destroyed the earth and everything else, it says the false prophet was thrown in the lake of fire. The beast, the dragon, all those that serve the dragon, everyone who has not found in the book of life will be thrown into this, and they will be consumed forever. Yeah. Evil will never rise again.
Amen.
Let's try again. Evil will never rise again.
Amen.
And do you know why you should be enthusiastic about this news that evil will never rise again? Because everything that you go through, we have the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about crisis. All the crisis that has been behind us and the ones that are before us is all with the intent to cause us to give up our faith. But don't, because the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, I will give free water from the spring of water of life to everyone who is thirsty. Those who win the victory will receive this. Only those that remain faithful will receive this. It says, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Kids, it's time to go home. God bless you.
Amen.
Let's march to Zion.
Amen.